In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sister Anne has come back, so welcome back. First Communions went decently well this weekend, but we still missed you. So good to have you back. If you want to know more about current softball scores, you can go ahead and talk to Sister about that. As she spent her, isn't that what you did? You were spending time with your niece? Oh, the graduation, not just the softball games. Okay, good. Well, she'll be able to tell you about how she's doing as well. Today, we have this particular passage. It struck me in a way that I'd never seen it in the same light before. For at the last verse, verse 31, it says, "He," speaking of the devil, that's what the previous verse is speaking about, "has no power over me, the prince of the ruler of this world. But the world must know that I love the Father, and that I do just as the Father commanded me." Our Lord begins this passage speaking about peace. And the peace that he gives is a peace that the world does not know, cannot understand. And our Lord is on his way to his death. That's the context of where this scripture passage is going. Immediately after he finishes these words, which I just gave you, it says he got up and said, "Let us go." Let us go as he leaves the table and goes to the Mount of Olives, where he will be betrayed. These are our Lord's last words in a semblance of exterior peace, before he goes and pours out his soul before the Father, saying, "If there's any other way, take this chalice away from me." Our Lord gives you and I in this passage an example. Everything that our Lord does in his sacred humanity is an example for you and I. There's nothing that our Lord does in his sacred humanity which you and I also do not have the power, the strength that comes from God in order to accomplish in ourselves. Don't think that anything that our Lord does in his sacred humanity is beyond what is humanly possible. For as the author of Hebrews speaks about it, he says, "Christ Jesus has been made like us in every way and to endure all manner of temptations, just as we ourselves do, save sin." It's the only difference between our Lord's sacred humanity and yours and mine is that his was not stained with sin. Our Lord gives you and I the way in which we can have the peace that our Lord does indeed intend for you and I to have, which is not like what the world gives, which is an absence of conflict in the exterior realm. But the peace which the Lord gives is something which is a peace deep in the center of the interior realm, particularly in a place where he says this, where obviously there was great perturbation going on even within his soul as he pleads with the Lord with tears and sweat that becomes as drops of blood. Such great was his anxiety. And he says, "I must do this, even though that the world is going to be handed over to the prince of this world, and I will be handed over to him to do with him the evil deeds that he wishes." But to show that even such evil has no power over him, he says, "The world must know how deeply I love the Father." And that is evidenced, as he says, that I do just what the Father has commanded me. Being Catholic isn't easy. The reason why it's not easy to be Catholic is because we actually believe everything that Jesus has come to teach. We don't softplay any of his teachings, but rather we believe everything that he says. Being Catholic, we actually believe that our Lord said anyone who divorces his wife and marries another, or is divorced and causes somebody else to marry in that way, any other marriage like that is indeed adultery. We believe that every sixth commandment sin is indeed a grave sin. We believe that we have to hold to everything it is that our Lord teaches, and we can't softplay a single one. We know that the scriptures teach us, and the evidence within the New Testament church and the authority of the church to bind and to loose says that anyone who misses a Sunday Mass or even a holy day of obligation, which doesn't fall on Sunday, commits a grave sin and so forfeits salvation should they not come back to repentance. These are hard teachings. These are difficult things for you and I to endure, but they are indeed what Christ has given. It's a hard thing to be Catholic because we actually trust what God says as true and don't softplay a single one of it, particularly where he says in John 6 that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have my life within you. But the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has my life within them, and I will raise them upon the last day. Our Lord speaks with effect. And so we, as his Catholics, trust ourselves to him the very best that we're able to do so, and so it's tough to follow these things. But to show that the world has no power over us, to show that he who is the ruler of this world, who is coming and is already in power, as our Lord saw even in the face of his own death, so that the world can know that you and I really love the Father like Christ loved the Father, then we have to do exactly what the Father has commanded us. We could keep these very things in mind as we face all these difficulties. When in Any arduous duty is decreed by God or ordained by those who have true authority over us. We're commanded to go on a particular difficult journey or death or martyrdom or any task which is asked of us by the church, even if it is hard and difficult to be able to do so, or we don't realize how we could have the time or the strength to be able to accomplish it. We should go forward with charity and obedience to freely meet that danger which is before us, to go forward with an clarity, which means a speed of generosity, a speed that also has a joy with it, even as we suffer. So we can say, just as our Lord says in the very next little half verse that we left out of our gospel today, he says, immediately after saying these things, "Arise, let us go from here." As he immediately goes from that place to the place where he'll pour out his soul, and then finally to be betrayed and to meet his death. We can easily vanquish whatever enemy it is that attacks our soul if we do as our Lord said, to arise immediately, make haste, and go to meet that challenge. Our daily experience proves the same, that he has accomplished the half of the deed who begins to act on it immediately and well. You and I know that from experience, that half the battle is actually taking the first step to do the thing that's difficult. And having half the battle already won in that way to do the difficult thing by rising quickly to do so, but then the rest of it is all the easier because we know it's all downhill from there in the battle. Let's ask our Lord for that same sort of ardor and strength, the knowledge of his charity within our soul, so that the world can see how deeply it is that we are in love with the Father and trust that even in the midst of difficulty of following everything that our Lord decrees and trusting that it is true, the world may fall in love with the Lord just as we desire ourselves to have fallen in love with the Lord, beginning half the task within a clarity of going quickly to do what the Lord says, and the believing that even through it all, that God will bring about something even greater, even if it does indeed result in our death, whether spiritual or in the physical. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.